This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Health is perhaps the greatest wealth that you can have. First spiritual health and then physical health. And today we're going to focus on our health. We have before the United States Congress, in fact before the Senate, a great test for who is going to represent America in the Health and Human Services Department. Who is going to best represent America to restore America's health? Well, today on Viewpoint, we're not going to focus on the political aspect because you and I can do virtually nothing about that. The choice has been made by our president as to who he wants to represent, and quite frankly, that man, RFK Jr., Robert Kennedy, is actually very serious about the issue. Whether or not you agree with him on every point is not to be the point today on the program. But a man is deathly serious about the matter of our health in America, which seems to be deteriorating and is not matching up to the health around the world. So today on Viewpoint, we're going to take a look at some things that are very important right up front, perhaps the top three or four things that will help us with our health, no matter what age bracket we are in. We could take a look at resolutions. People make resolutions, and we're still barely in the month of resolutions in January as we begin to enter into the rest of the year. And one article tells us that there are 10 resolutions that could add years to your life. And very simply, one would be trying to give alcohol a break. Another, get social. In others, spend more time socializing instead of on your cell phone and on social media. Practice gratitude. Walk a little bit more than you did in 2024. Meditate, and for Christians, we're not talking about the kind of meditation they're talking about, but meditate on the Word of God. We're supposed to meditate day and night. Eat more probiotics, gut-friendly foods, stay hydrated, drink more water, and a number of other things such as eat a diversity of foods, vegetables, fruits, and so on, a lot of protein, and establish a good sleep routine. We're going to touch on all of these and cut back on sugar. 10 specific things that you and I can do, even if in moderation, to change our thinking, to change our practices, to add years to our life. And you see, God wants us to be good stewards. Good stewards not only of the resources that he gives us, but good stewards of these bodies that are called the temple of the Holy Spirit. Good stewardship. Now, often we don't think about health and our health practices as good stewardship, but maybe we should. Maybe that's the better way for us to look at our health situation. So, one of the things that, among all of these things, would be our brains. You see, you got to have heart, and you also have to have the brain that operates all the other systems. And so you might say, well, the most important thing would be your heart. Another might be the most important thing is your brain. We're going to talk about both of them here on the program today. And some of the things that are shared, if you will take heed to these things and not just brush them off, oh, well, I heard that before, something like that, but actually take heed, it may just change your life and add, in some areas, up to 6 to 10 years of your life, maybe more. But how about the enjoyment of life as well? It's not just the years of your life, it's the life of your years, right? Not just the years of your life, but the life of your years. You got to have life. Jesus wants us to have life more abundantly. And he wasn't talking specifically about physical life, but he knew that our physical life in many respects, was dependent on our spiritual life. And even scientists are discovering that. So maybe what we should do is just begin with the top of the item, our brains. We're going to talk about our brains, and later on, we'll talk about our spiritual life as we wrap up, because that ties it all together. You see, some people thought when they handed out brains, they thought they said pains, and they said they didn't want any. Well, I don't know about you, but I know that my brain is very precious. Without my brain, I have nothing that functions. You want your brain to function as best you possibly can. And taking care of your cognitive health ought to be a no-brainer. A no-brainer. Even Time magazine got into the mix on this. 87% of Americans are concerned about age-related memory loss and decline in brain function as they grow older, yet only 32% believe they can do anything to help control that trajectory. The good news, though, is that there are definitely risk factors that we can modify. So prioritizing health behaviors like exercising and eating a nutritious diet can increase the likelihood that when we reach our 70s and 80s, we're still able to summon important memories. Now, I don't know about you, but as we continue to grow older, you realize that there are little things that might be a little harder to bring up on your hard drive, and that I'm talking about in your own brain. And you think, oh, I wonder if I've got dementia. I wonder if I've got Alzheimer's disease or something like that. Well, not necessarily so, because there is, starting about age 30, a diminution of your brain power and brain cells. But if you want to kill off your brain cells, just drink a lot of alcohol. If you want to kill off your brain cells, just drink a lot of alcohol and use a lot of drugs. You'll kill them off for sure. Not only that, but you're going to cause cancer. So great is the problem now that the Surgeon General is calling for cancer warning on alcohol bottles. Alcoholic drinks should carry a label warning consumers about their cancer risks, said the Surgeon General. It causes increases in the risk of developing breast cancer, colon cancer, liver cancer, and even other cancers. Alcohol consumption, he said, is the third leading preventable cause of cancer in the United States after tobacco and obesity, increasing the risk of at least 7 types of cancer. So, it would seem that we would want to get control of alcohol. In fact, I'd recommend to you that you just get rid of it altogether. Get rid of it altogether. Why not make that an object for 2025? Improving your brain health, getting rid of 7 of the most one of the most cancer-causing products on the earth today. We'll be right back, friends, focusing in on our brain health.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
And I welcome you back to Viewpoint. We're talking about our health today, whether or not we make a special resolution or whether we're just deciding that we're going to do something different and be more cognizant of our health to protect our cognizance, our brain cognizance. So we're going to manage chronic illnesses, like if you have high blood pressure, high cholesterol, or diabetes. You got to do something to try to bring those under control as best you can. As best you can. So, in terms of our eating, in a very simple way, other than getting rid of things that are deadly, as the Surgeon General has warned concerning alcohol consumption of any type, he says, of any type, we want to control the kind of eating, decide the kind of food we're going to eat. We're going to minimize red meat. I didn't say don't eat red meat. I said minimize red meat. And we're going to focus on other kinds of protein, including nuts and seeds and fish, and particularly fish such as salmon. One of the things that my wife and I purpose to do is have salmon at least once a week. At least once a week. It's one of the best protein sources that you can have. And yes, the cost is up there, but the cost of beef, I think, is even higher now. So limit the red meat, accentuate fish, whole grains, fruits, veggies, and keep the diet away from some of the traditional American diet that overemphasizes the wrong things. Challenge your mind. Challenge your mind. In other words, play a game involved in mental stimulation. It's very good. Puzzles. That's a good thing. Play a particular a board game that involves your mind. Play it with your wife or your family. Stimulate your brain. Read. It is said that men now are reading very little anymore. They're jeopardizing their minds because they're not having to think about life. They want to view life. They don't want to think about it. Thinking keeps your mind stimulated. Exercise for 30 minutes. Your body, your entire body is going to benefit if you work out at least a few days a week. That includes your brain. Exercising improves cognitive processes and memory. Exercising is not what you call exercising table muscle. In other words, your stomach pushing away from the table. That's not the kind of exercise we're talking about. We're talking about walking with intention, cardiovascular exercise. We're talking about things that get your blood flowing. We're talking about actually exercising your muscles, resistance exercise. And we'll talk more about that a little bit later in the program. Those things are going to help improve your cognitive processes and memory. That includes our thinking, right? And so we want to also get enough rest. We want to get enough sleep. And while Donald Trump may be able to operate fantastically on 4 or 5 hours a night, you and I cannot. And so we need between 7 and 8 hours a night, usually. People who get 6 hours of sleep or less per night are 30% more likely to be diagnosed with dementia than those who log in with at least 7 hours, particularly if you're in your 50s or 60s or beyond. Get enough rest. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later on in detail. So those are things that we can do, making up our resolution, so we speak, our state of heart and mind, our determination of things that we're going to do to get things in order for good health, to take care of these bodies, the temple of the Holy Spirit, so that we can function and do the will of the Lord for the longest period of time. Another article came out about napping as opposed to just an overnight sleep. If you want to boost brain power, the easy way, take a nap. That's the advice of researchers who found that even a 10-minute nap can boost cognition and learning capabilities. The director of the Center for Sleep and Cognition said that the greatest benefits of napping include increased vigilance and memory. Naps can improve mental processing speed, mood, and alleviate sleeplessness. The benefits of napping mimic the health benefits of sleep, which is often called the third pillar of health. The third pillar of health, sleep. Now, you may not have thought about it that way, but more and more, the emphasis is on sleep, along with diet and exercise. So you have those three pillars, sleep, diet, and exercise, the three pillars of health. Now, that's talking about the physical pillars of health. That's not talking about the spiritual pillar of health. Taking an afternoon nap not only recharges your batteries, but it's also good for your brain. One study found that daytime napping could slow the rate at which the brain shrinks as we age. Now, I have found, yours truly, that before my final preparations for broadcast, I make a practice of taking a short nap. I don't take long naps generally, but I take a short nap, usually somewhere around 20 to 30 minutes. And I find that as I do that, I'm not waking groggily. If I take a longer nap, I tend to be groggy for a while. But taking a shorter nap actually provides the energy and focus that I need to be able to do the best thing that I can do to communicate what needs to be communicated to you. And so the third pillar of health is our sleep, and that includes a nap. My mother used to nap for 30 minutes every day. So she made the kids lay down in the summertime, taking a nap for 30 minutes. 30 minutes every day. And so it's a good practice. Apparently, my mother knew quite a bit. Now, we were talking about resistance training. We were talking about exercise, but there's a certain kind of exercise that I want to focus on for a moment. Exercise has a number of health benefits, including strengthening your heart, improving your mood, reducing risk for depression, chronic diseases, and brain disorders such as Alzheimer's. But weightlifting, in particular, can boost brain function and slow cognitive decline. Now, you may not think about that. You may not have a set of barbells. You might not have some weight machine or something like that at your house. I have personally set up a small little gym for us that provides all the foundation and necessary things for us to keep healthy. And since I've been 18 years of age, I have tried to keep up with most of those things on a weekly basis. One of the reasons it works is that weight training improves the brain's ability to process glucose, which is important for protecting against the development of type 2 diabetes. And people with type 2 diabetes are 77% more likely to suffer from depression, which is related to your brain health. Long-term blood sugar changes are also associated with brain-damaging inflammation, and fluctuations in blood sugar are linked to insulin resistance, which results in brain cells not getting the energy they need to function properly. Resistance training now, that is exercising your muscles against resistance, whether it's with weights, whether it's with those stretchy cords, or some other kind of, even push-ups, where you're using your body weight for the resistance. That is a kind of weight training. And resistance training lowers glucose and insulin levels for up to 24 hours after you do it. So resistance training can prolong your life. An analysis published in the British Journal of Sports Medicine found that people who spent 30 to 60 minutes strength training each week had a 40% lower risk of premature death. Did you hear that? People who spent an average of 30 to 60 minutes of some kind of strength training each week had a 40% lower risk of premature death. Now, I don't know about you, but life is important to me. I believe that God has a purpose and a calling for my life, my existence on the planet. Sometimes I wonder how effective that is, but I believe that he does have that purpose. And so I want to take care of this body as long as I can and to accomplish the things, the purposes that God has me to accomplish. And I can't do that if I'm sick. I can't do that if I'm on the deathbed. So I want to continue to do those things. So start slow. You can use some light weights. I have purchased for my wife some light weights, 5 pounds. You might even, depending on who you are, you might even use 3 pounds, but 5 pounds is good. You could work up to 10 pounds. It depends on what the kind of thing that you're doing. But you want to exercise as much of your muscles as you can against resistance. As for me, I have a pattern that I use with a bench, weight bench, and I do a set of curls. I do a set of what they call French curls behind the head. I do some forearm curls. That's my upper body. And then I also do bench presses, and I do them all with a moderate weight. I'm not trying to gain bulk. I'm just trying to keep shape and keep the energy up. Walking, I used to be able to jog or run. Can't do it now, having had a hip replacement, but I'm going to continue to exercise every single day in some way. So alternate the weights every other day. By the time you've done that, you're going to get your 30 minutes, maybe 60 minutes of strength training in every week, lowering your premature death likelihood by 40%. Now we go back to the brain's cognitive reserves. Stress. Everybody talks about stress. I have found that it's kind of like the doctor's dumping ground. If they can't figure out anything else that's going on in your life, it must be stress. High or persistent stress can not only reduce social interactions and our ability to enjoy leisure activities, it can also increase the risk of that horrible D word, dementia. So, we don't want to have consistent heavy-duty stress. One of the ways that we deal with that is to trust the Lord with all our heart, lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct our paths. If we truly believe that, and we trust him, it will reduce our stress. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. It will reduce your stress. Meditate on the word of God day and night. We're told to do that. We're not told to read the word, we're told to study it and to meditate on it. In other words, you sit quietly. Remember, the Lord said, "Be still and know that I am God." If we truly believe that and we did and we practiced that, there'd be a whole lot less stress in our lives. In fact, we might actually become doers of the word and not just hearers only, and that would remove a lot of other stress because the things that we refuse to cooperate with God's word on are the things oftentimes that are creating the stress in our lives, including marital stress. Anybody listening today? This program today is about as practical as you can get. Now, a lot of people like chocolate. And my wife has a humorous plaque that actually I bought for her because I knew how much she liked chocolate. And it's hung up in our kitchen just as a humorous thing. It's real cute. But we'll talk about this matter of chocolate when we get back. It actually is good for you, at least in small proportions, maybe even a little a day. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries
on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
No, you're not being encouraged to become a chocoholic. But before we get into looking at the benefits of chocolate, let's finish up with fitness. An article came out not long ago. In fact, it was just a couple of weeks ago, that fitness is more important even than weight for life longevity. When it comes to living a longer life, staying active may matter more than what the scale actually says. That's per the largest study yet on fitness, body weight, and longevity published recently in the British Journal of Sports Medicine. Researchers found that people who are aerobically fit, that's how well your heart, your lungs, your muscles work together to supply oxygen during exercise, significantly reduce their risk of premature death, even if they're obese. In fact, being fit cut the risk of premature death by half for people with obesity compared to those of normal weight who were unfit. Ah, so maybe we should get to focus on fitness every bit as much as fatness. Not to mention that we should get our weight under control, right? So we don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater, so to speak. But let's get down to this chocolate business. Cocoa. Everybody likes a nice cup of cocoa, right? Or indulging in a bar of dark chocolate. But the benefits go far beyond the taste buds. And we're not going to go into all the details of this. But cocoa contains magnesium, potassium, copper, and calcium, which are essential to our health. But let's talk about the cognitive benefits, because that's what we are focusing on, our brains, our minds, our memories. The flavanols in cocoa are known to have many beneficial effects on the brain. Multiple studies have shown that flavanols positively affect several processes related to cognition, such as processing speed, attention, working memory, and executive function. So if you want to make executive orders in your family, you got to have executive function, men. Cocoa improves memory and protects against neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's by improving blood flow to the brain. Cocoa, in the form of dark chocolate, is known to improve mood as well. And results show that eating 85% cocoa dark chocolate significantly reduces negative emotions. And negative emotions are directly related to, you guessed it, dementia. Anybody listening today? Trying to give you some of the keys to the kingdom, so to speak, at least insofar as it relates to our health, which actually undergirds our ability to proceed with God's call on our lives, with our families and our work, the enjoyment of our life, and certainly I think God does want us to enjoy our lives. It's not about just constantly looking for happiness at every corner, but it's about feeling good being strong, being healthy, being able to do the things that God would have us to do. He didn't put us on this earth just to endure pain. Yes, there is pain that goes with gain. In fact, we might just mention no pain, no gain, because if you aren't willing to control things, if you're not willing to engage in exercise, then, well, no pain, no gain. You have to decide, do I want gain or do I want pain? No pain. We're going to have pain no matter what, so why not allow the pain to produce some gain? So, you know, whenever you think of exercise, don't just wash your mouth out with chocolate. Maybe you should wash your mouth out with chocolate after you did the exercise. Maybe that would work for you. How about coffee? The studies show that consuming coffee in the morning is linked to a 16% lower risk of premature death and a 31% reduced risk of dying from cardiovascular disease compared to non-coffee drinkers. Interesting. Another article tells us that your coffee habit may be doing double duty, jump-starting your mornings and providing COVID-19 protection, according to a study. Other benefits from coffee. 3 significant health benefits. A lower risk for stroke, reduced risk of death from cardiovascular disease, and a 21% reduction in risk of death from all other causes. Also, a lower risk of developing multiple sclerosis, moderately lowering breast cancer risk. And so, do you not think this might be a good thing? And you might be interested in just thinking about drinking your coffee black. I remember when I first started drinking coffee, I had not really liked coffee at all, and I put a lot of sugar in it and a lot of cream in it. And I gradually weaned myself off of all of those additives and actually don't really like coffee with those additives anymore. I want, just like I want dark chocolate, I want dark coffee. All right. There are some other things that are very helpful here in our health. And one of those happens to be flossing your teeth. Now, this might catch a lot of people unawares, but listen very carefully. Flossing your teeth cuts the stroke risk by up to 44%. It also protects your brain as well as your gums, according to a new study. People who floss their teeth at least once a week are reducing their risk of stroke caused by a blood clot. That's just once a week. Flossing is associated with a 22% lower risk of clot-causing stroke and a 44% lower risk of stroke caused by blood clots traveling from the heart. Flossers had a 12% lower risk of atrial fibrillation, an abnormal heart rhythm that increases risk of stroke. Oral health behaviors like flossing are linked to inflammation and artery hardening. Flossing may reduce stroke risk by lowering oral infections and inflammation and encouraging other healthy habits. Not bad. If you want life and have it more abundantly, floss. And if you want your heart to be healthy, you might want to consider becoming a bit nutty. Eating just a handful of nuts daily, about 30 grams, can reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease by 20 to 25%. I try to have some nuts around. You know, some of you may think that's all you have around is nuts, or we're going nuts. But we're talking about the nuts you can eat here. Scandinavian researchers reviewed 60 studies and found a strong association between nut consumption and heart disease and the risk of heart attacks. Could lower a handful of nuts, just about 30 grams every day, could lower the risk of suffering from cardiovascular disease by 20 to 25%. That seems to be a very strong investment ratio. If you're going to invest in something, and that's what we're talking about here today. We're talking about basic investments in health. Dr. Don Colbert was on this program a couple of weeks ago with his book, Spiritual Health Zone, How to Add Joy, Love, Peace, and Years to Your Life. He's joined us so many times on this program over the years. And this particular focus in this book is about our spiritual health, because he says if we don't have these things in order in our lives, all the other things just are not going to happen the way they should. For instance, if we don't engage in forgiving and we hold grudges against people and allow a root of bitterness to dig in, we're going to have deep problems. No matter how many nuts you eat, no matter how much exercise you do, if you don't have a clean conscience and you're allowing guilt to build up without confessing it before the Lord and coming clean and repenting, you're going to have problems. Mental problems. Cognitive problems. If you don't have hope, you're going to have problems. And the hope that we have in Christ makes not ashamed. So in his book, Health Zone, he tells us ultimately that if we want to have joy and health in our lives, we're going to have joy, love, and peace in our lives. No wonder the Bible talks about joy, peace, and love. Peace, joy, and love. Love. Get a copy of the book. It's a $29 book, $28 book. Yours for $22 on our website, saveus.org. Go to the website, get a copy of the book, because it's going to encourage you to have the kind of life that you want, that you need, that we all need this year. We all need guidance. We all need a coach. And today, yours truly is functioning as a coach. All right? Go to the website, saveus.org. Health Zone, the Spiritual Health Zone by Don Colbert. It's on our website, saveus.org. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. I don't think you're going to be disappointed. And we have some very interesting things to talk about in the balance of the program today. So I hope you'll stay tuned. This is Viewpoint.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
And today we're talking about things that would amplify, add to our health, add to our mental clarity, our endurance, our enjoyment of life, our ability to fulfill God's purposes and plans in and for our lives so that we might be a blessing and enjoy life in the process. That's what we're talking about here today on Viewpoint. And as far as I'm concerned, these things are very important. I gather these kinds of pieces of information together over a period of months so that at the appropriate time I can share some of them with you just to encourage, like a coach. We all need encouragement. We all need some sort of guidance to kind of steer us away from the things that we shouldn't be doing and get us on board to the things that we should. Now, one of the things that caught my attention is this. Just 10 minutes in nature boosts mental health. Spending time in nature can provide a boost for people with mental health illness also. Even as little as 10 minutes spent in a city park can improve a person's symptoms. Now, I want to go further than that, and I want to tell you what the experiences are having spent a considerable amount of time in nature, particularly as a younger adult. I spent a considerable amount of time in hiking, in climbing, in bicycling, and so on. And what I discovered is that when I was under considerable pressure in various areas, getting out in nature just seemed to almost magically lift that pressure. There's something about it. God created the nature out there, the beauty of nature. And it's wonderful to be able to enjoy that. Every time I see a snow-covered mountain, my spirit leaps because I've been in those mountains. And there's something about them that just strikes awe into my inner being. So when I discovered in the Epic Times 2 weeks ago an article called Virtue Medicine, how awe boosts our immune system, I thought, you know what? I can relate to that. Now, God wants us to be people, his people, to be people of awe. First of all, he wants us to be awestruck by him. When we lose that sense of the awe of God, we lose the fear of God. And when we lose the fear of God, we lose all the benefits that he wants to provide because we don't do his will. So moral beauty includes how people feel awestruck at the beginning or end of life or during areas of life. We can look at a person's life and we can be awestruck by who they are and how they live. We can look at nature and we can be awestruck. We can look at the Purple Mountains' majesty above the fruited plains and be awestruck. God wants us to be awestruck by the things of his creation. When I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers and the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you're mindful of him, Lord, and the son of man that you visit him? That's what the psalmist David said in Psalm 8. Allow yourself to become awestruck. It is very hard to be awestruck just sitting in front of a TV. Or sitting in front of your cell phone. The only thing that strikes people there is how many likes they get. And that's not very awe-striking. But speaking of cell phones, France has required warnings on cell phones about radiation risks since 2019, believe it or not. The EU is also funding research on radio frequency radiation dangers from cell phones. But in this country, get a load of this, in this country, after decades of research pointing to serious health risks from cell phone radiation exposure, examining the possible links has now been stopped. The National Toxicology Program, tasked with studying potential toxins related to an recently announced that it would no longer investigate evidence that cell phone radiation can harm animals or people. I guess they just didn't want to get into it. I guess money speaks. That's what we're going to do, so forget the studies. Wow. One of the things that is so essential to our healthy lives is our fellowship with our fellow citizens, with brothers and sisters in Christ. Isn't it interesting that the scripture says that just before the great and terrible day of the Lord, before the final events of world history, there's going to be a tendency of Christian people to fall away from fellowship. And the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together with other believers. But the more so, as you see the day of the Lord approaching, gather together to encourage, to strengthen, to have fellowship, to break bread together. This weekend in our congregation, as we do the first of every month, we're going to break bread together. And I'm not talking about just a little communion meal with wafers, and we're talking about an actual meal. That's what the early church did. And there are good reasons for it. When Jesus had to deal with some of the roughest issues with his disciples and others, guess what we found him doing? Breaking bread together. What's that all about? It's about human relationship. We need each other. Reuben Welch, who was formerly the chaplain of college or university in Southern California, just had a message for people. We really do need each other. We really do need each other. But apparently that's being lost in American life. America has a new epidemic, says USA Today, and it can't be treated using traditional therapies, even though it has debilitating and even deadly consequences. The problem seeping in at the corners of our communities is loneliness, said the U.S. Surgeon General. Most of us probably think of loneliness as just a bad feeling. But it turns out that loneliness has far greater implications for our health when we struggle with a sense of social disconnection, being lonely or isolated. Loneliness is detrimental to mental health and physical health, leading to an increased risk of heart disease, dementia, stroke, and premature death. So the world is becoming lonelier, and there's some very, very worrisome consequences. Said one doctor, it won't just make you miserable, loneliness will kill you. Whoa. So serious is this problem that in Seoul, Korea, they're spending $327 million to fight loneliness as middle-aged men are dying lonely deaths. Sometimes it takes days or weeks before their bodies are found. A CNBC study found that heavy social media users are more likely to feel lonely than light social media users. And a psychiatry study found that adolescents who spend more than 3 hours a day in social media are at high risk for loneliness, depression, and suicide. So all of the so-called social things are not social at all. They're antisocial in many respects. Loneliness, please try to grab a hold of this. Loneliness is worse for your health than obesity, alcoholism, and even smoking 15 cigarettes a day. 53% of older adults have reported to a doctor that they feel lonely. Loneliness was a bigger stressor than alcoholism, smoking, and obesity. This is pretty serious stuff. And I think God knows that it's serious stuff. When we read the Bible, we discover that God did not intend for people to be lonely. And so he saw that Adam, unlike all the other animals, did not have a mate. And he said, he realized that it was important for Adam to have a mate. So he put him to sleep, took out one of his ribs, made Eve, presented Eve to him. They had a marriage, and she became his helpmate. I'm so glad that I have a helpmate now of 58 years. I don't know what I would do without her. I'm not addicted to her, but we share joy in our relationship. There's something about human relationship. And friends, if you can have human relationship, but if you don't have relationship with the Lord, and I mean warm fellowship with the Lord, you're suffering. Whether you realize it or not, you're suffering. Your body is suffering. Your thinking is suffering. Your heart is suffering. Everything is suffering. And all the other things that we've talked about, we can be doing, and they're good, but they do not replace a relationship with the God who made us. The first thing that we have to do is be reconciled to him. If you've never received Jesus Christ and his promise of salvation to you, you need to do it immediately. For your eternal destiny's sake, but also for your life's sake now. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and I will give rest unto your soul." What do you think he's talking about? There's a kind of rest, you see, that comes with sleep and taking a nap. But there's another kind of rest. It's a spiritual rest that comes with walking in peace and joy, because you're not walking in guilt, knowing that you're out of fellowship with God, or knowing that you're out of fellowship with your wife, or knowing that you're out of fellowship with your neighbor or somebody that you work with or your relatives or so on. Look, God wants us to be healed. He sent his word to heal us and deliver us from our destructions. But we don't see it that way, do we? So, if you're holding resentment, if you're holding for unforgiveness, if you're holding bitterness, anger, a heart of greed, if you're like the Rolling Stones and crying out, "I can't get no satisfaction, but I tried and I tried and I tried," you're in deep trouble. You're not at rest. You're not at peace. And you can't have true joy. You might have some moments of happiness, but you're not going to have true joy. And we need all of those components to be healthy as followers of Christ. If there's anything in your life, if we've been talking, there's no preaching here. I'm functioning like a coach today. If there's anything that's been said that touches one of the areas of your life, a corner of your life, then allow that. The Holy Spirit probably has spoken to you through that. Then purpose to respond. If there's anything that you're holding in your life that's holding you back, keeping you away from joy in the Lord, take care of it. Do it today. Get a copy of Dr. Colbert's book, Spiritual Health Zone. Add joy, love, peace, and years to your life. $28 book, hardbound. Here's for $22 on our website, saveus.org. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at $6 for postage and handling. And become a partner, friends. We're in this thing together. Really. We have relationships, actually, with many of our listeners because they purpose to do so.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.